Coming up, Disney will be making donations to Make-A-Wish when you share your ears on social media. Disney After Hours is expanding beyond the Magic Kingdom. Plus, we'll give you an update on the holidays at Walt Disney World and discuss tips that could help you save time during your vacation. Live from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Diz Unplugged. This is the Diz Unplugged, episode 1013 for the week of November 6, 2018. The Diz Unplugged is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect Disney vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the Diz Unplugged. I am your host today, Craig Williams, filling in for Pete Werner, who I believe it was last night or early this morning got to Tokyo as part of his big long trip that he's been gone on now for a while, where he started in Aulani and then went to Tokyo Disneyland from there. So you got me today. But you also have a lot of other great people sitting around the table, including John Magi.
Hi, everybody.
Kevin Close.
Everybody should go out and vote.
Charles Boda.
Hey, folks.
Corey Martin.
I'm just happy to be here.
And back on the controls, Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
Ooh, I screwed up your camera. You look like a
I look what?
Nothing.
Luggish?
Yeah, what the
heck? No, I almost swore. So
just sit on a phone book. Yeah. You'll be fine.
It's okay. We're getting off to a good start with that. So, yes, as I said, I am your host today. Pete's gone. I think we went over all of that. So if you're not following him on social media, then I would do so now, because his first time to Tokyo Disneyland is going to be fully documented in every way. So I think he's PeteW126 on Instagram, and then just Pete Werner on Twitter. So those are the two best places you can follow him. And then, of course, his page on Facebook. But I'm going to start housekeeping besides saying
Wait,
that.
Wait, can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
I know, I'm throwing you off.
Yeah, you can.
Also follow the.diz on Instagram. Those guys are posting some great pictures. They did this incredible flyover of Aulani. I assume, I don't know, they put wings on Steve and somehow
close enough
flying it's over Aulani. Yeah. But it's actually gorgeous. It's a really great shot of Aulani. So make sure you're watching the Diz on Instagram.
Steve Drone Porter. I mean, that's
Steve Drone Porter.
It was a catapult. A Steve-a-pult.
Steve-a-pult.
No, but yeah, that's a good point. I forgot about that. So I don't know how much Pete's going to be posting on there once they're in Tokyo. But to go back and see all those great Aulani posts, definitely check it out. So Steve had a lot of fun with the drone that they bought right before they left for the trip, so he learned it real quick. And since the beaches in Aulani and Hawaii are all public, he was able to take it out and fly it and get some great views of the areas. And they said they have like 2,000 photos and videos so far just of what they covered in Hawaii, so we should be getting a lot of good content from that trip. And I believe that we are going to see a lot of that content for the very first time during the marathon show that will be happening Saturday, November 24th, that will kick off the big fundraiser that will last for a week for Give Kids the World, for the silent auction that we're doing. And of course, that marathon show will be doing from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. that day that we're doing it, the Saturday right after Thanksgiving. And Rhino and I were just out at the Welcome Center this past weekend, and I guess that was all on Friday, and we got to see some of the auction items that are going to be available, and there's some pretty interesting ones.
Come on, tease some of them. Tell us what's going on.
There's a Jeff Goldblum autograph that's got a Jurassic Park license plate with it and a sexy picture of Jeff Goldblum.
Are there any other pictures of Jeff Goldblum?
I wish. Just the one in my house of me and him. And I want this one to go next to it. So it's going to be a bit more.
Was there anything that won't change? Yeah. Well, is there anything that won't lead to a creepy conversation?
There is not.
I was going to bring up that there is one that could bring up a creepy conversation. If you're a fan of wrestling, Zack Ryder, who is a fan of everything that we do, he was nice enough to donate his wrestling gear. I don't know if gear. They're shorts, wrestling gear, because there was some padding in there, and then the underwear that he would wear. So he did wash them, but he autographed them and donated them. So that's pretty cool.
Huh. Okay, so
Kevin's not going to bid on this one, so you have a chance.
There's a set of share tickets if you're going to be in town January 21st, and there's nothing creepy about it. You get to go see share with John and Pete and I.
There are no undergarments involved.
In the presidential box at the, whatever it's called these days, the Waterhouse Arena, Amway Arena, whatever they've called it now.
Did you guys see the...
There's no underwear involved.
Did you guys see the Harrison Ford piece?
Oh yes, that was another cool one.
Tell us about that.
It has a Han Solo blaster inside of the case, and then there's an autograph of a Han Solo photo of Harrison Ford has autographed that, and it comes with the certificate of authenticity, and it's in a nice, pretty nice frame. The same with the Jeff Goldblum one.
I think I remember seeing that email that came in with a lot of that stuff in one email, because it shut my whole email down because the files are so hot.
There's an autographed guitar autographed by Aretha Franklin.
Yeah.
There's stuff there that I don't think the hand bid is going to do it justice. Because they're really, really cool things. So I don't know if the pictures and the description will do it justice. So check it all out.
We're trying to get back out there so we can do a video going over more of the highlights. We were completely caught off guard when we walked in there, and it looked like an episode of Hoarders inside the Welcome Center.
I was wondering what the Welcome Center looks like right now.
There's some stuff from the 1964 World's Fair, including some Mary Blair cards, note cards, Christmas cards, I believe. But you all need to back off.
Oh, we saw all the Pete piles where everything that he wants.
The Pete piles.
Did he go out there and look?
He went out there and looked, and he marked down like the things that he wanted, put a yellow piece of paper over top of them, signed what he thinks the worth is. But that's how he was also being able to reminded what he wants.
Oh, I thought he went out and peed on the stuff he wanted.
In the next couple weeks, it's the You Are Not Welcome Center, right?
we cleaned it up pretty well, so there was still some work to go, but there was way more than I think Teresa ever expected to get. Yeah. It was pretty insane. So another cool one, my friend Nick and Fergie, who are in the touring cast of Hamilton, have donated two orchestra tickets, plus they'll give a tour backstage of the area. So that's when they come to Orlando, that is. So.
I'm going January 24th.
Oh, very, very
cool. Tell Nick and Nora I said hello.
Nick and Fergie.
Nick and Nora is from that movie you like.
Yeah. Nick and Nora is from the Thin Man.
Thin Man series.
Infinite Playlist,
too. My sister is donating a golden... Oak House. If anybody wants to start the bid starts at $1.
Good, a good deal on that.
People are going to hold you to it.
But Jeff, definitely a lot of cool stuff out there. So make sure you tune in on that Saturday, November 24th from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. To watch all the insanity that happens of that 12-hour show. And on top of that, start bidding on all the auction items that we're releasing.
Unfortunately, John and I will be on the Danube.
How unfortunate.
I know. You would rather be here for that show, but you have to be on the Danube.
But we have to be on the Danube. We're on an ABD trip.
When you're all in your 11th hour, we'll be thinking of you.
That's right.
I'm sure you won't, but...
No, please. It'll be like, did they do that thing 2 days ago they talked about doing? Probably.
Probably.
Who knows?
Okay. Does anyone else have any housekeeping? No? Okie dokie. Well, that's it then. We will wrap that up and move over to the news. So,
Sorry. I think we're supposed to talk about the Masters of Magic video.
Go ahead.
Yes, and I am confused, so I need my phone really quick here because I have been setting them all to go off at different times on different sites, and I can't remember which one is coming out this week. Yes, I do. It's the horticulture one. We interviewed Umberto, who is a manager of horticulture at Disneyland Resort, and it is all about what they do to bring magic through arboring the resort, however you
arboring?
You'll have to watch the
video. Arboring the resort?
Yes, arboring. That's all I have to say about that.
Definitely check it out. I've watched that video already. It's worth watching. Rhino did a great job on it. And
Show people arboring?
It actually does show people arboring. So it's if you're one of those people who wondered, what happens when they're ripping out the plants and putting in new ones so it magically looks good all the time.
It could be like me, who had no idea what an arborist was.
So you're doing it to an audience of one, Kelvin?
this one was dedicated to Teresa's husband.
Yeah, Michael Bowling, too. That used to be his dream job. It was to go and garden. So
we keep kids and pets alive. Like, we couldn't even keep a pumpkin that we brought home for one day. It just fell into nothing.
All right.
Not one plant in our house.
This conversation started out really good. Yeah. The whole thing of
Agree. So, okay, thank you, Rhino.
You're welcome.
With that, now we will move over to the news. So,
all right,
away, John.
Our first news story: Disney will donate to Make-A-Wish when you hashtag share your ears. Between November 4th and 17th of this year, Disney will donate $5 to Make-A-Wish for each public photo posted to Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram that shows off a set of Mickey ears or, quote, any other creative ears. This campaign is part of Disney's Team of Heroes initiative, and they will donate up to a maximum of $2 million. Make-A-Wish uses volunteers and donations to grant the wishes of children diagnosed with critical illnesses. They say a wish is granted somewhere in the United States every 34 minutes. Quite a few of these wishes involve Disney, and the company has helped grant 130,000 wishes since 1980. That's pretty impressive. Wondering exactly what qualify as ears, the campaign says, quote, so get ready and get creative. Don't have ears? Create your own out of just about anything.
Craig was terminated.
I don't feel comfortable putting that on your head.
All right.
But Kevin did.
All right. Create your own out of just about anything. Make them simple or fancy, artistic or wacky. Then put them on and join your favorite heroes, celebrities, and athletes in helping make wishes come true.
Look, I'm the gold robot.
The gayest robot in outer space.
I think it's fun. Have you seen some of the creative things people are coming up with?
I have not.
Yeah.
Well, this girl laid here, she's got something.
Oranges.
I believe oranges.
They're called oranges, tangerines. Rhino.
I thought they were pumpkins.
Orange, you glad you saw that?
You're not an arborist, so you wouldn't know the difference between oranges and pumpkins.
Here.
Crap, I killed the gold robot.
Here's okay. What you need to know to take part. Take a photo showing off your Mickey ears or any creative ears and make them simple or artistic. Upload your Mickey ears photo using hashtag share your ears on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, and you can do all three. Your post unlocks a $5 donation from Disney to help make wishes come true. Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I think Disney deserves a lot of credit for doing this. It's very cool.
It's a really fun way to help out. So even in the parks, you know, they just added a bunch of special walls where you can show up and do your pose in front of those and use your hashtag share your ears. So any way to get money to these great foundations, I think, is absolutely the best thing. But when you can put a twist on like this, it's just... You know, you can't go wrong. Anyone can participate anywhere as long as they have some form of social media. So it doesn't take much effort.
Well, if you don't have the social media, then go get a friend to do it. Who does, you know?
Yeah.
So. I think it's really cool that they added the idea that you don't have to have ears. Because I think a lot of people would be like, well, I can't get to Disney. I can't get ears. I don't want to buy them. But the fact that you can do anything.
Exactly.
Pretty awesome.
They set these caps, and this one is $2 million, when they do these. And... You know, their goal is to reach that. Their goal is to make it up to the 2 million. You know, it's capped off. But I think for most of these fundraisers, they usually end up hitting those achievements.
I'm pretty sure they've already hit the 2 million. I think last time they did this specific one, I think it was within days of it starting that it was right away. So 2 million isn't that much money. I mean, it is a lot. It's 2 million more than I have. But when you consider $5 for every single person who shares a post, there are a lot out there. So if you haven't shared your ears yet, get in on it.
What were the dates again?
November 4th through the 17th of this year. So already started. We're in the middle of it.
So
are you going to do it?
I am. I'm going to do it right this minute.
Okay.
How hard can it be?
Glad to know you got something to do while I read the news.
I'm sure someone else has already also screenshotted all three of you wearing ears at some point. And if they haven't, then I'm disappointed.
He apparently did share your sneers.
That's my Chandler smile.
Is it? All right.
Okay.
Our next news story. Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom to host Disney After Hours events. One of the Walt Disney World Resort's popular nighttime events is expanded beyond just the Magic Kingdom and into two additional parks. Disney has announced that that the separately ticketed Disney After Hours will also take place on select nights at Disney's Hollywood Studios and Disney's Animal Kingdom. Disney After Hours allows guests to experience a Disney park for 3 hours after close. Admission, which is separate from a regular daytime park ticket, also entitles guests to ice cream, popcorn, and select beverages. After Hours guests can arrive as early as 7 p.m., giving them an opportunity to enjoy the park before the event officially starts. Event tickets cost $129 plus tax if you do it day of purchase, $125 plus tax for advanced purchases. Disney Vacation Club members and annual pass holders, pricing is $95 plus tax. Some of the details for Disney Hollywood Studios, you can get into Toy Story Land, including attractions Slinky Dog Dash, Alien Swirling Saucers, and Toy Story Mania. Rock and Roller Coaster, Tower of Terror, and other attractions will also be available. There's a whole bunch of dates for these, December 2018 through April of 2019. Go to the site and check them out. I don't want to just read the dates. I think that's going to bore people.
Yeah.
But available at Animal Kingdom, you'll be able to see the nighttime show Tree of Life Awakenings and the Adventures Within Pandora, the World of Avatar, and more. And at the Magic Kingdom, of course, you'll be able to enjoy Haunted Mansion, Jungle Cruise, Pirates of the Caribbean, Space Mountain, as well as Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Tickets for Disney After Hours events at Disney's Animal Kingdom and Disney's Hollywood Studios go on sale starting November 15th and will be purchased through the Disney Reservation Center by calling 407-939-7795. We'll have a link to this in the show notes so you don't have to remember that number or write it down.
This is very interesting. I think any of us who have done Disney After Hours at Magic Kingdom, we all kind of raved about it for being a really good value. It's not a ton of time after the park closes, but you can basically walk on everything, and then things like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, like really, really popular, is just a very, very short wait. So never usually more than 15, 20 minutes if it even gets to that. So at Magic Kingdom, where you have a ton of attractions, mm-hmm. especially e-ticket attractions like Space Mountain, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, Splash Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain, Peter Pan's Flight, a lot of these rides that are very common to have over a 60-minute wait, if not longer. It makes a lot of sense. But
I think you'd be surprised how much you can do in 3 hours when there's not giant lines of people and giant crowds.
People go,
3 hours, that's not a lot. It's actually quite a bit.
Oh, it is. And, I mean, Kylie and I tried to do every single thing in 3 hours, and we came very close. I think we were like 9 attractions away, but we still got done like 16 or 17 of the ones open in Magic Kingdom.
And that wasn't because of waits. That was because of just getting from ride to ride.
Exactly. Yeah, no, waits were beautiful the entire night. It was just, if we had one more hour, we probably could have gotten everything in. With Hollywood Studios, though, this seems like a lot of money.
I agree.
For what's being offered.
I agree. I think this is a test bed for Star Wars because, I mean, you can only ride some of those attractions so many times.
Yeah, it's just the amount of attractions there. Mm-hmm. So you have Slinky mm-hmm. Dog Dash, Alien Swirling Saucers, Toy Story Mania, Rock and Roller Coaster, Tower of Terror, Star Tours, if they keep Muppet Vision open, and that's essentially it at that point. One Man's Dream, or if they do Voyage of the Little Mermaid. While there's some great attractions and it would be awesome to ride them with a very low wait, I just don't know how they can maintain short waits without really, really limiting the amount of tickets that they sell to this.
That's what I was going to say, is I don't know that they can create short waits with that limited amount of attractions, especially since the big draw here will be like Slinky Dog, Tower of Terror, Rock and Roller Coaster. Like, it'll be like at the DVC party where, like, you think it's going to be less wait, but it's actually like a lot It's the same, if not more.
The only thing that I think would help is the fact that these attractions are far apart. So it's going to take you still time to get between this side and that side of the park. I mean, that's going to help a little bit, but...
Yeah, it could. And, like, the snacks are one of the biggest selling points because it really is unlimited. And if it's just like, if it's just like Magic Kingdom's event, it's every single of, one of the prepackaged dessert bars that you can get. So Mickey bars, Mickey ice cream sandwiches, the fruit one.
That's it though, right?
Just all ice cream. Well, the ice cream and then popcorn.
Popcorn and, oh, and then okay. beverages. Popcorn,
yeah. Actual, you know, like bottles of Coke, Diet Coke, water, whatever. So you will see the crazy people that go to this event with a giant backpack and they will just stop at every stand and ask for like four waters and put it in. And somehow they believe that after doing that enough, they've gotten their money's worth out of it.
Well, it's which... $6 a bottle for water.
It is.
Or if you go up to CVS, it's $4.
Exactly.
These are people staying on Disney property. They're captured.
You can get gum.
It's like yeah. when you a new popcorn bucket comes out. We saw it in Disneyland the last time. There's people who brought like trash bags. And every time they get in line, they'll buy the popcorn bucket and they'll just dump the popcorn in a trash bag. So they'll act like a movie theater at the end of the night and they're carrying around a Santa Claus size amount of popcorn
that to sell on eBay.
Probably.
My Disney water bottles still have not sold on eBay and I've reduced the price to at least $2.
Your Zephyr Hills.
A bottle.
What anyway. Do we think about Animal Kingdom with this? Could you justify the price for Animal Kingdom?
Now, what are the attractions at Pandora going to be like? Or are people going to flock there and stay there? I mean, you're not going to do the safari. The safari at night is not cool. We've done it before. You can't see a thing.
But you have Everest. You have Dinosaur. You have Primeval Whirl.
Everest is great at night.
Potentially, I guess, Cali River Rapids. As long as it's not cold, you would be doing that as well, too. So is that enough to justify?
Talk about a walk. Those are walks.
Yeah, that's one where
that's a hike.
You would be spending yeah. a lot of time moving from place to place.
I think Animal Kingdom sounds worth it. I don't think the studios sound worth it.
Yeah, I couldn't see myself doing studios. Animal Kingdom, if they could definitely keep Flight of Passage controlled with the wait times and you're looking at only like 15 or 20 minute wait for it, I think it absolutely could be worth it.
Do you know
it.
How you can do that?
Don't sell as many tickets.
Or you could come to the party next August.
That's right.
That's I wasn't going to step on that, though.
Was that someone's your rapid fire?
My rapid fire.
Oh, ooh. You share too much.
Ruined.
It's a spoiler, but we'll get there.
Going to be an awkward ride home.
Did they have any shows going on at the Magic Kingdom After Hours party? Were there any stage shows?
No, nothing like that.
Because that would change it, too. If they were doing the Star Wars stage shows and things like that, that would help.
Yeah, it could.
Crowds.
But I think Corey's partly right. We're going to see if they continue this at Hollywood Studios, eventually Star Wars attractions will be lumped in once they're open. I wonder when Epcot's going to get their test for it, too. So I saw one person post on Twitter yesterday. I'm sorry I can't give you credit for it. But I remember seeing it and reading it is that this is ultimately if they can't get away with selling fast passes to the general public as a whole, then just make more after hours events where you're essentially selling them an event full of fast pass opportunities in 1 hour in these blocks and make it at all the parks. So
well, then now they're doing before hours events where you pay for getting in the park early. They're going to maximize every minute.
Who knows? Maybe eventually they'll try a overnight party where it's completely overnight, just like they used to do with 24-hour events. I would be interested in that. But that's just me. So let's move on.
Our third and final news story. The Nutcracker and the Four Realms faces disappointing opening. While reviews of Disney's newest live-action feature may praise its visually pleasing style, it seems that moviegoers aren't actually paying to see it. The Nutcracker and the Four Realms premiered Friday, November 2nd, and had a financially underwhelming opening weekend. According to box office estimates, the film ended its opening weekend with a domestic total of $20 million, earning approximately $8.7 million for Saturday showing, $5.7 million in Sunday ticket sales. The film opened to foreign audiences to a total of $38.5 million. These numbers put The Nutcracker and The Four Realms in second place among debut films, featuring Bohemian Rhapsody with $50 million and above Nobody's Fool which took in $14 million in U.S. theaters. The Nutcracker and the Four Realms is based on the famous short story and ballet and is believed to have cost well over $100 million to produce, with The Hollywood Reporter putting that number over $125 million. The film is proving to be a major upset for Walt Disney Studios. The story follows a young girl whose search for a special key takes her on a journey through four magic realms, which will fall to her to save. Keira Knightley, Other People, Other People, Other People, Helen Mirren, starring in the film.
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, Other People. So there's a lot of good stuff going on, I guess. I don't know. I could have saved them $125 million and told them don't do it.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
Leave the Nutcracker alone.
I love the Nutcracker. I have seen the ballet. So
the Nutcracker is one of those things that after the first 7 minutes and that one song, everyone goes, why are we here? Why are we watching this? Come on, it's boring.
You know, for us, like with you know, eight
you and, are so cultured.
For us with an 8-9 year old, I mean, they end up driving us to the movies if we don't like drive them to the movies. Like Incredibles 2, we couldn't wait. We were waiting for it. Now they might see the previews of this. They don't blink an eye. They don't tell us, Mom, Dad, I want to see this.
Well, you know, Ferris does the pedals.
You let them drive?
He posed a good question. Do you let your kids drive?
Well, you should see the car in the backyard. It's still in the tree.
Ferris works the pedals and Finley steers. I don't understand what the problem is.
It's very Chippendale.
Yeah, this is, I'm sorry, but this seemed like a bad idea from the beginning.
Yeah, well, I mean, Rhino and I, both when we were sitting in the D23 Expo presentation of it, and they brought out the guy who was playing the Mouse King in it to dance, it was kind of like one of those moments where the entire air is just drained, and not for like the good reason that everyone just stops breathing because they're impressed. It was like way to just kind of kill the momentum when you're announcing cool thing after cool thing after cool thing, and now we're going to watch this guy dance around just like he's going to in the movie that releases later this year or next year. And it, yeah, I do want to see this, but and I don't usually wait more than like the first weekend to see a Disney movie when it comes out, and with this one, even like last night I was sitting at home thinking, like, would I rather rewatch the same TV show that I've watched a million times over and over, or do I want to go see Nutcracker in the Four Realms? And so I watched The Office for about 2 hours last night, and that felt more fulfilling. It's just kind of a disaster, but I'm guessing no one here saw it. Charles?
No, I did not. Mm. Honestly, I think it's one of those things where maybe for less of a budget, they could have done something with the Nutcracker, but instead of doing a major motion picture, done a special or something like that. The Nutcracker is world famous, and it's largely responsible, that ballet is largely responsible for the prevalence of ballet in North America. A lot of that is owed to the fame and like the staying power of the Nutcracker itself. So, you know, also the holiday-centric aspect of it, like they could have done something with it, but blowing that much money on something with a sketchy plot and they're trying to do too many things. It's an adventure story, but it's a ballet. It's execution, I think.
Do you think it was released too far away from Christmas?
No.
Could that have helped it? No?
Cracker Barrel's had their Christmas decorations up since May.
Oh, nice.
They didn't take them down.
So, I mean, you know, and we start the Halloween party in August, so I'm not quite sure that's a problem. Yeah. I just think it's a bad premise. I mean, people force their kids to go see the Nutcracker at Christmas. You know, for a couple of bucks, you can buy the soundtrack on iTunes, and that's all anybody cares about. Yeah. So I just think it's a poor idea with poor execution.
Well, it shouldn't be that big of a deal for them. They're going to lose money on it, but Wreck-It Ralph 2 comes out a couple weeks from now over Thanksgiving, and that's going to go insane. And then Mary Poppins Returns opens up Christmas week, and
that's the one I want to see, and I am a purist. There's one part of me that says, don't do this. And then there's another part of me that's seen the previews, and I think, wow, this could be just as magical.
Yeah, I'm still torn on it. I was very excited, and then I got deflated, and then back up, the more they release of the animated scenes, it's making me nervous because it looks so
different. Movie previews are a real emotional roller coaster for you, aren't they?
They are. Trust me, it's what Rhino and I talk about every single day. Is did we see this trailer? Did we watch this one? Talk about our thoughts, feelings, disappointments.
Mm-hmm. Going back to the
does
money.
Kylie know about this?
No, she does. She's okay That's with me therapy. Having an emotional support when it comes to movie trailers.
You're his emotional support gay. You realize that?
I have a vest and everything.
Take him on planes.
You're not a beard, you're a mustache.
What?
Never mind.
All right, I think that'll do it for the news, but I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, that should probably just do it for the news. All right. So we're going to move on to a little discussion here about the holiday season that is coming up, and that is Thanksgiving and Christmas, but more importantly, Christmas. So we could have had like 10 news stories today or like extra rapid fires, but I figured we just could condense them in a little bit of a middle portion of the show here, talking about some of the holiday happenings that are going around. And the first one I want to discuss is that the details of the Toy Story Land holiday overlay started to slip out, and this morning actually they finally debuted a lot of what was happening. So the picture that we just put up for those watching on video will see that one of the decorations that they added was a ham Christmas cookie statue thing.
He looks good.
He does look good.
It looks realistic from here.
Yeah, just a ham cookie.
Yeah, it's not a ham cookie. You know, with one of those keys that unwind it.
No, that's a good point. I probably should have made that distinction. This is just one of the things that you can see in there. Over at Woody's Lunchbox, they have oversized cranberry and popcorn garland that's kind of decorating it. Alien Swirling Saucers started their holiday tunes and has green alien ornaments out front. Slinky Dog Dash is having sleigh bells jingling as he goes by. Rex is wishing everyone a holiday greeting. There will be a holiday treat at Woody's Lunchbox, a Cran Apple Cinnamon Tart, which sounds really tasty. And then the final piece will be a 60... Oh, gosh, this is where it's testing me. This says 60... That says 60-inch, right?
60 inches.
So
it can't be 60 feet.
I know it's not 60 feet, but it's also not, like, is that trying to make it more impressive
say
than
the,
saying
say the rest
five
of the
foot?
Words so we can help.
It's a 60-inch angel kitty in a paper plate and macaroni art wreath and a holiday card selfie of Toy Story characters. Saying 60 inches is trying to make it seem like it's really impressive.
That's 5 feet.
I know, it's not.
Is it a thing where you take a picture inside of it? Like, is it a wreath that you know, like a photo express thing?
Could be.
Because 5 feet is
how do you feel emotionally about the wreath?
I'm not there. I do like Angel Kitty, but I'm not quite there with it. But
we're going tonight.
We should test it now and then.
Angel Kitty.
Please ask about my emotions on everything. I do need it from time to time.
I mean, that cookie looks only, what, about 10 feet tall?
Oh, Lord.
I would say 12? 10-ish, maybe 8. Okay. So ballpark it. Rhino and I are going to go tonight to check out what is currently available, as well as Jingle Bell Jingle Bam. So,
which I still haven't seen, actually.
Well, you're going to see it for the first time tonight, then. It's going to be exciting. I know Rhino really wants to get a picture with the Green Army Men because they're donning scarves. Okie dokie. That's good mouth noises happening there. And then
do enough stuff. I wouldn't even think of going to the parks to see scarves.
Well, maybe consider it. But then everything will be ready to go officially on November 8th. That includes the projections on Tower of Terror with the lasers and snow this year. So that's kind of what's happening over at Hollywood Studios. Over at Candlelight Processional this past week, we got the final announcement of the final two narrators, and that includes Robbie Benson on November 28th through the 30th, and then John Stamos on December 1st and 2nd.
We got Stamos.
I'm very excited. So I booked a package so I can see John Stamos. So I've heard him play.
Met him on a Disney ship.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I'm jealous.
In person.
I saw him play with the Beach Boys at Universal this past year, and that was excellent. But I would like to see more of him. personally. He seemed entertaining. So that's my emotional state on that.
Because I knew you about this too.
Oh, she fully supports the John Stamosisms.
It's your hall pass.
So. Oh my God.
No, I posted you my hall pass.
Maybe, Kevin, maybe you should give Craig those ears on the table right there.
You know, I'm not going to judge.
Who doesn't love John Stamos?
Things are fluid.
I have a decent neutrality towards John Stamos.
I was gonna say, I think he's a nice guy. I mean,
I think he made a deal with the devil.
Yeah, I think he's
he and Rob Lowe.
Yeah. They both look really good for their age.
Pretty to look at. Pretty to look at.
I think John Stamos is a handsome gentleman.
Yeah, give these to him.
Oh, they'll say Pete on it. I don't want to wear his ears.
Who doesn't love John Stamos?
Is he also on Fuller Light? Like, it's, wait, what's the one?
Fuller House.
Fuller House.
Yeah. Fuller, I don't know. Ask Craig. He watches that show.
I didn't make it past the first season.
Is he on the new one?
I think he guest stars every now and then. Yeah, I think he's like on it.
Yeah, that one he popped up every now and then, but the first season wasn't worth continuing on. So then, of course, this week also on Thursday, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party starts, and our whole team will be out there covering that. So we've already talked about it on another show before. Nothing new is happening this year, so I'm not going to really waste time reminding you that there's the parade, fireworks, dance party, cookies.
Feels like
hot chocolate, cold chocolate,
rain.
Really cold chocolate.
Cold chocolate.
Definitely rain.
And it's all limited edition. They only made 40 of each.
So next week we'll have our full coverage on that event for you. So you'll just have to wait for that. And then the exciting thing for people who don't get to come down here and experience any of these holiday offerings, Disney did announce the lineup of all the holiday specials that will be airing throughout the holiday season. The first one that kicks off is The Wonderful World of Disney Magical Holiday Celebration. That'll be on ABC and the ABC app on Thursday, November 29th from 9 to 11
That's where
PM.
They plead with you to go see Nutcracker, right?
Believe so. It's going to be hosted by, surprise, surprise, Jordan Fisher and then the girl from Modern Family, the oldest one, as well as Jesse Palmer. And it will feature musical numbers, celebrity appearances, and a tree lighting ceremony, including Disney parks in the U.S., Paris, Shanghai, and Hong Kong.
Actually, some of the celebrity appearances are actually pretty good.
Gwen Stefani singing Feliz Navidad. Oh, Meghan Trainor.
Julie will be watching.
Julie will be all up on that.
Brett Elridge, is he a country? Yeah, he's a country singer, and he'll be joined by Meghan Trainor for that. Andrea Bocelli will be singing from Nutcracker in the Four Realms for you, Kevin. Jordan Fisher performing. Aloe Black, I believe.
Love Aloe Vera. She's my favorite.
She's smooth.
American Idol winner Maddie Poppy. So a couple there. The next one that will be happening, well, actually, it'll happen earlier. The Disney Parks presents 25 Days of Christmas Holiday Party. That debuts on Friday, November 23rd on the Disney Now app, but then will air on Disney Channel on Saturday, December 1st from 8 to 8:30. This will also be hosted by Jordan Fisher and feature a lot of the same artists that are already got out there to record songs for the first.
Disney is in love with Jordan Fisher.
Yeah.
So, but it'll be more of Gwen Stefani, Brett Elridge, Asher Angel, Meg Donnelly, and then, of course, the Disney Parks Magical Christmas Day Parade, which will happen, of course, on Christmas Day, Tuesday, December 25th from 10 to 12. And this will be hosted by Jordan Fisher.
Of course. Sarah Hyland, they have no one else.
And Jesse Palmer. I think they're going to just try to knock everything out in one shoot all at the same time, reusing all the same
wardrobe
people.
Wardrobe changes.
So this, of course, will feature musical performances by people like
Jordan Fisher,
Gwen Stefani, Jordan Fisher, Andrea Bocelli. Not this time singing a song from the Nutcracker. He'll be singing Ave Maria. And then he'll be joined by his son to sing White Christmas.
There's a highlight.
Yeah, really.
Aloe Black will be back. Olivia Holt will be there. Maddie Poppy again. D Capella. So I'll be tuning in for that. And that's what's happening. For all of you who can't get down to the parks, you can watch the same 10 people sing over and over again.
It is a Jordan Fisher film festival.
A very Jordan Fisher Christmas coming next year on Christmas Day.
I have to Google Jordan Fisher.
Yeah, tell me what she looks like.
I think
it's a boy. Okay.
But I have a, like, a love-hate with these shows because I think they've turned so much into, I don't know, it's become one big commercial. And we're so surrounded with it. I know it's like it's tradition to watch the Christmas Day parade and stuff like that, even though we know it was recorded last year. Destroying the magic, but Craig kills the magic. But it's the I guess it's just become a whole. Oh, she is. Oh, I know she is.
She's pretty, isn't she?
Yeah.
But Craig, he's very handsome.
Yeah. No John Stamos.
Oh, is. Yeah, well, the whole thing, though, is, you know, this goes back to the beginning of Disney on television. Wonderful World of Color was an advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, you can't blame them for that. I think the problem is they do this thing where they give a false sense of what Disney is like during the holidays. Yeah. And people come here expecting that, and I don't think that they see that.
They should just do one shot where there's
of wall to wall rush hour. Yeah,
that, and then once you're in on Magic Kingdom, walking down Main Street, where it just looks like one giant brick of a person,
yeah,
all across. That would show the Christmas magic better than anything else. But before we move on with that, if you had one suggestion, just one, out of what we just kind of talked about, those things to do here, whether it's stay home and just watch these amazing television specials or do any of the things that we talked about, what would you do? What would you recommend to someone?
Come in January.
John?
If you're here, right, there's nothing better than experiencing Christmas at Disney. So if you're here, you have to make the effort to go. You know, stay for a couple of minutes, then leave. You know, you don't have to stay the whole day.
The parade is not on Christmas Day. There is not, the parade that you see is recorded a month in advance.
Right.
It is not going to be live on Christmas Day. So if you're here on Christmas Day and you go to the Magic Kingdom, that parade will not be going on.
Well, my suggestion,
Jordan Fisher will not be on Main Street.
My suggestion is, if you're planning a trip here, plan a trip well before the Christmas holiday, because you can do all that cool stuff like the party and candlelight and all that beforehand and see the decorations without as much of a crowd.
The best thing listed was candlelight.
Yeah.
That's what you would recommend? Special. Candlelight? Mm-hmm.
Don't miss that.
Rhino?
I don't know.
Okey-dokey.
I don't know. It's a hard one. There's like, I don't, when I came here, like, a Halloween always was that, like, oh wow, Halloween here. And we had a conversation about this, and your reasoning is funny to me, but I get really depressed at Christmas here. They do a really good job of, like, when you're on Main Street and it's snowing during the parties and the Christmas music's playing, and you're like, it gives you that feeling, and you were like, well, that's the feeling of Christmas, depression. I was like, we have weird feelings at Christmas, but you know, you think about family and friends and whatever. And if you can experience it snowing on Main Street, I think it's great. If you come from an area where it snows, it's snow. Well, it's 80 degrees outside, so it's a unique experience. It's warm snow, so I guess that. I don't know.
Okay.
I gotta mull it over. I don't know.
We're gonna have to start putting Zoloft in their articles.
Can we have that added to our insurance, please? Corey, thing Christmas.
Magic Kingdom Christmas. I mean, it's just with the castle lighting and the snow soap. I mean, our kids they get a bath.
Finally.
Like, while we're at the park, so it's great. It's awesome. No, it's just, I would say Christmas, Main Street, Magic Kingdom. Not even a party, just experience that.
Charles?
Yeah, not even the party. Magic Kingdom, Main Street. But, and this is because I'm lucky enough to live local and be an annual pass holder, but waiting until a cool day and popping over there. Because one of the difficult parts when you're in Florida is seeing all the Christmassy stuff, but still it being humid. It just rained 10 minutes ago, and now the sun is out, and it's uncomfortable and everything. But the first time I have to wear, like, a light jacket to Magic Kingdom is my favorite time of year. So
that's excellent. So for me, I would recommend Hollywood Studios. I love that 20s, 30s, 40s vibe, especially add in the old classic Hollywood vibe with Christmas, and I think it just becomes the coolest place, between the decorations that they added all around Echo Lake last year. They gave it a real retro vibe.
Gertie with her hat on.
Yeah.
I have to tell you something about that. It has nothing to do with what you're talking about. But I've read... it does, but it's kind of... It's out a little bit. There's a gentleman named Martin Turnbull who has written a series of books. There's nine of them called the Garden of Allah series.
I've looked those up, yeah.
And it starts at the 1920s and it goes through the 1960s. And it's sort of the history of Hollywood. And it's fictionalized fact or factualized fiction. So there's a great deal of truth to it. And he is an expert on Los Angeles. And he just wrote an article that you can Google out there where he talked about Hollywood studios, and the buildings in Hollywood studios are extremely accurate as far as architecture compared to their real life counterparts. Yeah. However, he said anybody who's familiar with old Los Angeles would lose their mind because they're not in the same place.
Yeah.
They've put them wherever it was convenient, mm-hmm. but the architecture itself is very, very accurate for the time period. Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I've read all of his books. If you're interested in old Hollywood, they're a great story.
Yeah, I have those on my list to read, but I just love that era in Hollywood and mix that with Christmas. I think it's the best time. I think that's the best era of Christmas music, is right from the 30s to the 60s. It's just so add that all together.
Do they make it snow there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right down Hollywood Boulevard, it will snow. So, and now add on Toy Story Land decorations in the back. You have the projections on Tower of Terror. I know it kills Tower of Terror and the entire scary mindset behind it, but it's still cool to be walking down the street and just everything starts holiday. Plus, they're going to have snow there as well, too. So now you're going to have snow in two different areas and end off the night with Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam. It's not the greatest fireworks show, but it's still holiday oriented. So that would be my recommendation. But yeah, whatever you do during Christmas, whether it's anything we said, sit at home and watch those Christmas specials. We hope you enjoy it and stay tuned to all our future coverage on that. But that's going to do it for that little section. And we are going to move over to rapid fire and we will start with John.
All right. I have an update on our 2019 event, our 20 Years of Dreams event. Big news, it's going to be hosted by Jordan Fisher. Just kidding. Someone's going to want to cancel because it's not Jordan Fisher showing up.
My daughter was crying while watching this.
I want to let everybody know that 50% of the space for the event and the party is now sold out.
Oh, wow.
So if you are dragging your feet and you have not signed up, sign up now, because we're going to sell out at this rate. It's probably going to be well before the end of the year. So if you're thinking of putting off, do not put off. It's going to be filled up. We're also 70% sold out of our room space that we've held. Really good rates. We did get them to add more rooms at the Contemporary, the Grand Floridian, and Animal Kingdom Lodge. Those were completely sold out, but they've added a few more rooms for us there. Really, really great rates there. So do not hesitate. As an example, Animal Kingdom Lodge, $283 per night plus tax. So these are really good rates. Don't miss out. Party's selling out. Rooms are selling out. Act fast. Wow.
That's awesome. So get in on it. Hurry.
Hurry. Do it now?
Yes. Now. Pause this. Go do it. Come back. Kevin?
Mine has nothing to do with Jordan Fisher.
So disappointing.
I can help you with your Christmas shopping this year and next year. You ready? Why don't you take your loved one on a trip to London, Paris, and Disneyland Paris next October? The dates are the 4th through the 13th, and we will be spending time in London, Paris, and Disneyland Paris. However, unlike other adventures by Disney, we will have guides throughout Disneyland Paris. That's not usually the case. In the past, we've had an ambassador and private guides who helped us get on everything we wanted to get on and just made it special. Lots of special activities. The cost per person is $10,449 per person based on double occupancy. And if you want to travel alone, the cost is $14,629. We still have a couple of spaces left. I know John and I are going. Pete has said he's going. So there might be other people going. If you want to join us, Kevin at Dreams Unlimited Travel. There's only a handful of spaces left.
I know this sounds like a lot of money, but this is the regular London Paris adventure plus the Disneyland Paris. We're staying at the Disneyland Hotel.
Which is the entrance to Disneyland Paris. Right.
You're staying at the most expensive hotel over there. There's going to be park tickets and meals. We're going to have
a guided tour with an Imagineer. With
an Imagineer, fast passes. So it's really an incredible add-on for the amount of money it's costing in addition to the event. So,
and it will be all decorated for Halloween. And ooh. Disneyland Paris loves Halloween.
Yeah, we've been there during Halloween. It's pretty cool.
Christmas present. Christmas present this year. Make 2 years out of it. Make it Christmas and a birthday.
And maybe Jordan Fisher will sign up.
Every time you say that, I think of Amy Fisher, and she shot Mrs. Buttafuoco. I can't help it.
Oh, my God. Your mind works in weird ways.
I'm emotionally stable. Calm down.
We'll talk after the show. Thank you, Kevin. Charles.
Okay. Disney on Broadway concert performers and dining packages announced for 2019 Epcot Festival of the Arts.
Let me guess. Ashley Brown, Josh Strickland.
Festival of the Arts takes place January 18th to February 25th, 2019. The 2019 Epcot International Festival of the Arts will be here before you know it, and fans of this newest addition to Epcot's lineup of festivals will be glad to hear that the entire Disney on Broadway schedule has been announced, along with dining packages that allow guests to pair a reservation at a select Epcot area restaurant with priority seating for that same evening's concert. Reservations for the dining packages are set to open on November 8th. The Disney on, or, yes, okay, cool, that's not happened yet. 2 days. The Disney on Broadway concerts will take place each night of the festival at 5:30 p.m., 6:45 p.m., and 8 o'clock p.m. on the America Gardens Theater stage in Epcot's World Showcase. The lineup, I'm not going to read every date, but...
Josh Strickland, Ashley Brown.
Yeah. As far as the list of performers, you got the pairing of Carrie Butler and Kevin Massey, Meredith Inglesby and Steve Blanchard, Ariel Jacobs and Adam Jacobs, Heidi Blickenstaff and Gavin Lee, Ashley Brown and Josh Strickland, and Kissy Simmons and Alton Fitzgerald White. And on February 25th, four of them, Ashley Brown, Josh Strickland, Kissy Simmons, and Alton Fitzgerald White. I don't know who any of these people are.
What we're going to do is Craig's going to add a link to all of their Twitter profiles in the show notes, all the ones that we mentioned on this show today, including Jordan Sparks. Is that who
Jordan,
we're talking
Jordan
about?
Jordan Sparks, yes, Jordan Sparks.
I have a question about this concert. Are they different depending on who the performers are? Is it different songs every time?
Yeah.
Because it's from the Broadway shows that these folks are in.
Wasn't Ashley Brown Mary Poppins?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, Josh was Tarzan. Tarzan, right? Yeah.
Yeah. They all were in a Disney show at one point in time, but Kissy Simmons and Alton Fitzgerald, I believe they both were in The Lion King, so like they will do more Lion King-oriented stuff when you see Josh Strickland and Ashley Brown together. They stick to Mary. They'll do everything, but you know they always have a song from Mary Poppins, always have a song or two from Tarzan. So they do kind of lean towards what they were in, but they'll throw in something from Beauty and the Beast or The Little Mermaid or
Rent.
Frozen. Yeah, not Rent.
The holiday version of Rent.
But close. Very close, Charles. And thank you for that.
One good song surrounded by sadness.
It's like our lives.
Oh, man. Rhino, come on. Take care of him.
I know. Your name comes in up there. Get a movie trailer on right now. Corey.
Oh. Okay, Disney announces New Year's Eve Fort Wilderness Beach Party. You'll get an assortment of freshly prepared desserts, seasonal fruits, flavorful cheeses, and refreshments, including beer and wine. I know, I had to remove a lot of this.
Fresh and prepared?
And well, flavorful.
Freshly prepared.
Okay, that's better.
Yeah, it's not back of the house. They prepare it there.
With the counter.
I'm just reading what I got. The party will take place on December 31st, obviously, from 10 p.m. to 12:30 a.m. The cost is $99 per adult and $59 per child, ages 3 to 9. That's not including tax, and gratuity is not included, but it's not required. Now, when they say it's not required, don't you feel bad when you don't tip?
Yeah. Like, it specifically mentions that, like, it's not included or required.
But
And it's New Year's. People just spend a lot of money in Christmas.
Tipping's not actually required anywhere
right? That's they had to add that in there. Of course you're going to tip.
Except on Disney Cruise.
And then, so obviously reservations are strongly recommended, and you can do it online or you can call www.
I imagine this would be awesome if you were staying at the campground.
I love Fort Wilderness.
I love it.
I love it over there.
Are you going?
We haven't made any plans yet, but...
He's not going.
If you're not staying on property, that's a rough drive home. We've become so lazy
with New Year's. Like, the kids go to sleep, and Julie and I sit and drink wine, and we watch the ball drop.
Right.
That's it.
It's not only a long drive home, but it's like planes, trains, and automobiles to get to the beach.
I don't want to be on the road with crazy people.
So I imagine it will be very... My original thought was it'll be very popular with the people who are staying there, but it would be an effort to get there.
Right.
Yeah, if you're not at Wilderness Lodge or Fort Wilderness.
But you get to see the fireworks in the Magic Kingdom. So that's
absolutely
cool.
Thank you, Corey. Rhino.
Okay, so mine is about, we spoke a little bit earlier in the show about some holiday stuff that's coming up here, and that is going to, when they do all those productions, all the filming and stuff around the area, it's going to impact some of the offerings at the park. So filming for the upcoming holiday television specials will take place at Magic Kingdom Park from November 9th through the 11th, and as a result, some of those offerings are going to be adjusted. So on Thursday, November 8th, Let the Magic Begin, which is the welcome show at the Magic Kingdom, will just be audio only. So I no characters or a show involved. The same on that Friday the 9th as well. And then on the Friday the 9th, the Mickey's Royal Friendship Fair will not take place as well. And I'm assuming they're doing a lot of the filming by the stage for that day. But on Saturday, November 10th, Let the Magic Begin will again be audio only. There will be no Mickey's Royal Friendship Fair, no A Frozen Holiday Wish, and no Once Upon a Time. And then Sunday the 11th, again, Let the Magic Begin, audio only, and no Mickey's Friendship Fair, no Frozen Holiday Wish, and no Once Upon a Time. And then additionally, the flag retreat that typically takes place at Magic Kingdom at 5:15. But on November 11th, there's going to be a special enhanced one in honor of Veterans Day. So that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
That's cool. The rest of the stuff, well, if you're there, that's unfortunate. But
exactly.
You came during the filming, so you might get to see, you might pop up in
Jordan
the background.
Jordan Fisher.
Yeah. Jordan Fisher. Yeah.
He could be there. Or he might not. Only time will tell. Thank you, Rhino. That's going to do it for Rapid Fire. We're going to move on to our last part of the show. I know we're pretty much at the end, but that's what happens when you announce it in the beginning and didn't think you would get to the end, so you'd have to add something in. So now we're stuck. But we'll go through this quick. We're going to talk about wasting time at Walt Disney World. And one of our contributors, Haley Van Paris, wrote a fun article that's 6 easy steps to avoid wasting time at Walt Disney World. And like the cynical people we are, I figured we could go through and dissect everything she has to say and tell her whether or not she's right or wrong, or whether or not your tips are right or wrong.
And then welcome to being a contributor. Yeah. Yeah.
So, we pay you, but then we also get to put you through the ringer. So let's
kind of like the Hunger Games.
It very much is. So
it's nothing like the Hunger Games.
I will be brutal. Only one tip will stand at the end of this.
All right.
Only one.
What was that?
Nothing. That's a duck off screen. Sorry, apologize. Let me compose myself. So I'm going to start going through Haley's 6 steps, and we'll start with the first one. Her first step to help save time during your Walt Disney World vacation include riding the resort monorail. She says, when you first arrive at the ticket and transportation center and pass through the ticket windows, you're greeted with a huge sign for the monorail. Most Walt Disney World experts know to look for the resort monorail slightly to the left between the main monorail entrance and the ferry boat entrance. It's still attached to the main monorail station, just all the way to the left, and when you are looking at the entrance. While it stops at Polynesian Village Resort and Grand Floridian Resort and Spa, it is usually faster than waiting in the line for the regular monorail to come around. Would we say this is a good tip? Yes, no, maybe so.
Where are people sending their hate mail?
Craig's home address.
Especially the people that are staying at the Polynesian and the Grand Floridian.
There's going to be a lot of people who are going to be upset that you've given out this tip, because people at those resorts now might not get on their monorail.
Yeah, I go back and forth with this. I've shared it before as a tip with people, and then inevitably I've had points where I try this because I'm like, yep, it's going to be less hassle. I'm just going to do the resort monorail, and then I'll see people who are in line for the regular monorail, and as I'm passing, finally coming into the station, walking down, I'll see them already scanned and starting to move in to the Magic Kingdom. So I'm not sure that it's always – it always is faster.
A lot of it depends on like crowd level. At the end of the night, when you've got big crowds all exiting at once, is usually the time where I think, okay, resort monorail's the way to go.
Yeah, it's definitely faster than the ferry boat.
But our decision's made in the moment, because you talk about, like, we have, you know, if we do have a stroller or two sometimes where you can see that line in for the monorail, we might not get on that first one. So sometimes it is quicker for us to hop on the ferry, because once all those cabins are filled, we have to wait for the next one.
And that's one thing I will say. While the resort monorail might not be faster, I think it can generally be a calmer experience, because once you get to the Grand Floridian point, then it's really filled up. But when you get on at the TTC in Polynesian, usually there's still some space, so you can either grab a seat or at least not being shoved in person to person. So it's definitely more comfortable experience, but I don't know. Sometimes I think that the express monorail is the express monorail for a reason, but you can try out that tip. The next one is walk through the Emporium instead of walking down Main Street USA. This one's self-explanatory. After your first visit to the Magic Kingdom, you can skip walking down the center of Main Street. Seeing the castle for the first time, walk through the Emporium takes much less time and exit right through Casey's Corner. So it's not as easy to cut through on the other side of Main Street because the shops are not all connected. Would we consider this one
about wasting time or trying to get from point A to point B faster? Because,
again, you know, with crowds, it could be a battle to get through those shops.
Mm-hmm. And you're walking through shops. I'm sorry, this doesn't sound like vacation.
Like, oh, I want that. I want that. I want this.
Well, I think it depends. I mean, if you've got like a direct goal in mind, you're like, I only have 10 minutes to get here, then, and you're like pushing around between people. Like, I'm a quick walker and I'm by myself, so it makes sense. But if you've got like, you've got a big group and you're trying to navigate those tight corners inside the Emporium and everything while people are getting distracted by toys and all the other merchandise there. Yeah.
I would say...
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I think this is a good tip. I think, like, if the parade is going on or if, like...
Perfect.
Fireworks have ended.
If it's raining.
Yeah, exactly. Raining, exactly. Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Exact same thing I was going to say. If it's parade or Move It, Shake It starts coming down the street, or if it's fireworks time.
In her defense, she is saying as soon as the park opens. Yeah. So I will say that.
Okay,
she is saying as soon as the park
the crowd.
Opens.
All right.
Way to avoid the crowd, get off into a land somewhere, because everyone's walking down Main Street. Everyone wants to see
everybody lock hands and keep going.
And that's true, too, right? First thing in the morning.
It's also free AC during your walk. Like, if you're going to be caught in traffic either way, you might as well do it indoors.
So it could save you time, but at least there's AC, regardless.
And you can shop.
So next one, take the Walt Disney World Railroad train. The 20-minute train ride will let you off at three different stops in the Magic Kingdom. If you have plans in Frontierland or Fantasyland, first thing on a crowded day in the Magic Kingdom, I would recommend hopping on the train. It's also a nice ride if you've never ridden it before, and a good way to get some shade and a nice breeze. I don't think this saves any time.
I don't think so at all.
I don't think it saves time, but I did do this. We had talked about it for like a year before I finally rode it a couple months ago. And it was super fun, and I was really, really happy. I built it up a lot in my head, but it took forever. I don't know whether it's technical difficulties or what, but I spent like an hour getting between two lands. So
I think it's fast if you want to get back to Splash Mountain.
If you have a destination.
Yeah, I think it's a fun way to get from point A to point B. I'm not sure it's going to save time, but I think it's a fun way.
Yeah, if you're going to Big Thunder Mountain or Splash Mountain, those are all the way in the back of Frontierland. Mm-hmm. So, if you time it out right where the train pulls up and you can get on, you will make it right there before it gets there. But getting back to, like, Mickey's Toontown, I guess it hasn't been called that in years now, getting back to Storybook Circus, you could probably walk there before it makes the first stop and then also gets back there. But, you know, sometimes, as we've said, it's just nice to enjoy
it. It's also a nice way if you're dealing with someone with mobility issues.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's another good point, too.
It cuts out some walking.
Yeah, no, it definitely could, especially if someone's riding like an ECV or something. Well, the notion is that they're going to go fast. Going back to those streets on Main Street, first thing in the morning when it is crowded side to side, you can, without running people over, you can only maneuver so much. So there are instances where it can, but then instances where it might not. So next one, walk with the crowd, not against it. This tip applies to any park, not just Magic Kingdom. Depending on where you are, it usually is much faster to walk with the crowd instead of trying to weave and bob through it. It might seem tempting, but don't do it. You'll just end up bumping into people and angering them, or running into people trying to come the other way.
It applies to Mardi Gras, too.
Yeah. I was just going to say, this applies to the mall.
Yeah.
It applies to just about any place where there's a group of people.
I will say I'm a against the crowd person, but that's almost for the thrill of
yeah, because like, you're taller than most.
Yeah, and I will admit I have bumped into people, and
I don't understand the bob and weave because I just go through like a plow.
I just yell hot coffee. Nobody wants to get burned.
He has done that before too.
Yes, I have. They part like the Red Sea.
But yeah, no, I think that's a perfect one. You will be tempted to say, oh, I see a gap over there. I'll be faster if I just cut around. Inevitably, you're going to have to cut back in with the crowd. And then, so you might as well just stay with it right from the start. So ride big ticket attractions at night. She's already in the past given her tips on how to ride Flight of Passage without waiting hours and hours, and the same rule applies to any big ticket attractions like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train in the Magic Kingdom. If there's a ride you are unable to get a fast pass for or don't want to waste a pass on, try to hit it before the park closes. Lines usually become shorter at night, and especially once the park is about to close. Plus, you probably don't have to get in the chaos of the mass exodus of everyone leaving after Happily Ever After anyways. I agree with this one. It's just deciding which is the attraction you're going to save for last that is what you're going to have the shortest wait on. Sometimes you can hit one or you can hit like two or three. But if you're talking about something like Space Mountain or Seven Dwarfs, you can only choose one. And that's a tough choice for a lot of people.
Have we gotten to the point where the crowds are so bad that going during a fireworks or parade is not even a viable option? Because that used to be the thing.
I don't think that exists anymore. Yeah. During the parties, during Not So Scary and the Christmas party, I think that still applies when those are happening.
Even Not So Scary, the last one, it didn't cut down too much during the parades or fireworks.
But definitely during the daytime, I don't see anything. With some of the shorter attractions, maybe like Buzz Lightyear, while the fireworks are happening, you might be able to get on that quicker, but not a lot of the bigger ones. So finally, get your food before waiting in lines. You have FastPass Plus, but you're also hungry and running out of time before your next FastPass comes up. Solution, grab your food to go. Plenty of quick service restaurants and carts that you can pick up food from and take them with you in your queue. You can utilize mobile ordering, and some options for food on the go are better than others, but that's a subject for another article for her. Would you ever, anyone here, would you eat food in line? Quick service meal.
No.
It depends.
I've
never, but I'm thinking about it. I'm like,
what? I mean, I've done that at the airport, but I don't know that I would at the Magic Kingdom, you know?
It makes me anxious, and I'm also, because of the crowds, super self-conscious about, like, I'm going to get mustard on somebody. That's going to happen if I'm eating anywhere where I'm moving or waiting in line.
I know you're extra chili for and mustard. Charles as well.
Yeah. Charles, my services can be rented out.
Just help me work through this. I'm always worried I'm going to get mustard on right now.
Even when
this.
He doesn't have mustard.
Yeah,
I have this coffee cup full of mustard.
I agree with mobile ordering. I mean, that's going to save you time.
Right. That's a big thing, right? Save time with mobile ordering. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm of the belief that even if you used all of these and stressed about it, and it seems that stress is a problem here, that what would you save? 20 minutes a day? 30 minutes a day? I think to myself, if you just kind of calm down and go with the flow, I think not being stressed out is better than saving 10 minutes.
That's my opinion. The best way to save time is to prioritize. Figure out what you're going to do, what you want to do, make that your priority. Stop being crazy and running around and carrying your mustard in line while you're waiting for Big Thunder Mountain.
Because they come in little packets. I mean, what happens? You know,
that's if you don't bring your own from home.
Right.
Yeah. I'd be more worried about the person who's carrying a chili dog from Casey's, like the complete foot one, and then goes in line for the ride. And
and then there are those people who want to pass you because their friends are in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, you know, if you feel like you could manage it, I know just from the theme park worker side of it, at one point, I hated when people brought turkey legs in the lines for the ride because
on Thunder Mountain. Oh. I mean, it's crazy just for the selfie.
they smelled up whatever garbage can it got thrown in, and inevitably someone misses one, and then it's just lying in the bushes. So I think it's a good idea in concept, except people are dirty.
Do you feel like you've had a different experience?
Turkey legs and bushes.
Is that how the wild turkeys grow?
Yeah. That's where wild turkey comes from, actually.
You plant the turkey leg, and in 9 months, a turkey just sprouts from the ground. It's the miracle of Thanksgiving, I believe.
Craig Williams' children's book coming out next year.
Fractured Fairy Tales by Craig Williams.
It's close. I've almost hit the nail on the head, but...
turkey leg on the... Sorry.
Turkey leg in the bush. Coming next spring.
It's okay. Like a pin the tail on the donkey scenario.
Well, again, back to wasting time. I think we should stop wasting time and just wrap up that show. So thanks for everyone for being here today and giving all your input into all this zaniness. But that's going to do it for this week's episode. We will be back with you next week for another new episode. Hit that music. But until then, remember, everyone, have a great week. Bye.